All right, great to have you with us as we get ready for baseball today. It is the Giants and Padres in game two of this very entertaining series. A great game last night. The Padres won it 8-7, but the Giants very resilient and came back, and we'll see what happens today. It's a pleasure to bring in Mark Simon. Mark A. Simon says on Twitter, Mark Simon of Sports Info Solutions. No one analyzes the game better than Mark. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thanks for having me.
No, I'm glad to have you here, and it's an interesting matchup today, and that is Musgrove and Rodon. And as I said on the show before, the Giants have hit Musgrove before. They've got a lot of people with home runs against them. In fact, a guy who's 2-for-39, Peterson, is hitting fourth today, 4-for-10 with two homers. So Musgrove, Rodon, how do you see it?
Let's start with Carlos Rodon. The last appearance was the aberration of all aberrations for him. Nothing worked. They clobbered the fastball. They clobbered the slider. He got hurt at the bottom of the zone. He works up with the fastball, down with the slider. He doesn't typically get hurt at the bottom of the zone. All his other starts, he had given up 5 hits on bottom of the zone combined. And in the start the other day, he gave up 4, 2 doubles and a home run. So you figure that's an aberration of all aberrations, and that ideally he gets back on track today. For Musgrove, he has a little bit of a different look to him than last season. More slider, less curveball. Threw 3 times as many sliders as he threw curveballs in his last start, and the slider was really good in his last start. The Braves went hitless against it. The Marlins went hitless against it in the start before that. When he doubles up and goes slider, slider, he's very tough. Hitters have a very hard time with that, I guess probably because you're thinking he's going to go slider, fastball. But when he goes slider, slider, he is very effective. And he has turned into something close to an ace, I think, at this point.
6 walks, 47 strikeouts for him, and obviously a very good ratio. But last year he did get hit harder. So you say the pitch selection has changed him this year.
He had his last year. He had his good moments, and then he kind of hit a little bit of a wall. But he was very effective. I think the thing to watch for him this year will be how effective he is as the season goes along. Because remember the no hitter last year. He was very, very good at the start of the season. We'll see if he can be 2.20 ERA good the whole year.
Mark Simon with us. Mark, on the Rodon side, they like him to throw that 98-mile-an-hour fastball up in the zone, but can you do that a whole season with a shoulder like he's got, or does he really have to mix in other things? And what did the Cardinals do to really jump on him? Because I think they jumped on him early in the count, according to the things we talked about this morning.
Yeah, and the idea that they hit, as I kind of alluded to, they hit everything. It wasn't like he could go to the slider and escape with it. Usually, with him, he's usually got both. He had none in that game, and I guess that just happens. Can he get away with the thing for the whole season? The guy hasn't pitched, made more than 25 starts in a season since 2016. So I was a little nervous about that signing when that signing was made, and I guess we'll see how it bears out. Right now it's funny. The BABIP against him is very, very high. But the thing is, nobody can hit him other than the Cardinals.
That's true. That's what I said yesterday. I said 3 stolen bases, no caught stealing, but try to get on base first.
Right.
Before
exactly.
You can do that. All right. Very good. All right. That's the matchup for today. It's a good one. It really is intriguing, really. All right. Darren Ruff broke loose last night. A couple of home runs for him, a couple of walks. All of a sudden, you look at, 16 for his last 39? And, what's happened to Darren Ruff? Why the turnaround?
I think that he's just getting better ball luck. You talk about in hockey puck luck. I think he's just gotten better ball luck. He had a fair share of pretty hard-hit outs in the early part of the season, and now the hard-hit balls are going over the fence. Those were impressive blasts last night. His hard hit rate, meaning 95 miles an hour, since the start of last season, he's in the top dozen hitters. He's right alongside like Trout, Machado. Aaron Judge is on another level, but he's at least in like the discussion for guys who hit the ball hard consistently when they hit it. And I think if you hit the ball hard consistently, even with a deader ball, eventually good things will happen for you.
Well, that's what Gabe Kapler said. Don't worry about him because the ball is being hit hard off the barrel, and that is something rough. Almost had two identical home runs last night, almost to the same spot, same launch angle, same miles per hour off the bat, and two very big home runs for the Giants last night. All right, how about Tyro Estrada? And we talked about this, Bruce Jenkins and I. Here's a guy who the analytics, as you'll tell us, aren't terribly favorable to him, but he's like Eddie Stanky, the old New York Giant, Brooklyn Dodger, Cardinal. He can't hit, he can't field, he can't throw, but he can beat you, and that's what Estrada has turned into.
Right. I kind of feel like that's the best way to describe it, because it feels like whenever there's something going on other than Darren Ruff hitting the home runs last night, it feels like he plays some sort of a role in it, whether it's a base advancing out, whether it's a stolen base, he's got six, whether it's a double, he's got 10, which leads the team. It just seems like he's kind of in the middle of it. Right now, like OPS-wise, he's in a reasonable place. His OPS is basically similar to what the Major League OPS would be. He's been better of late. He's covered the plate better of late. He's gotten the easiest way to describe it is like you have the middle of the plate, and then you have the outside and the inside, and almost all of his hits in this little hot spurt that he's on have been on inside or outside. They haven't been like cookies. I think he's earned his hits with good kind of, I'm not good at whether bat control is the right word there, but he has found his way to the baseball wherever it is pitched, and he has made the most of it. And I think that's what he's doing well at this point.
Yeah, I agree. And they used to throw him breaking balls, and he adjusted to that. And he's got 20 RBIs and scoring a ton of runs. So I like him. I like him. Yep. Now, Evan Longoria, his first couple of hits were to right center field, just like the beginning of the year last year, and now he just can't buy a hit. What's up with him?
So I looked at the same thing that I looked at with Joey Bart for him. He's hitting 148, but he has seven outs this season on balls where you would say, I think you would say kind of like shoot, that what could have been or what should have been. He had two pretty hard hit outs last night, an 104-mile-an-hour flyout, a 97-mile-an-hour ground out. If you looked at like what the percentages were for each of his balls that he's hit, I think you could make a case that he probably should have five or six more hits than he actually does. So if Kapler is going to say what he said about Darren Ruff, I suppose he needs to be consistent and say a similar kind of thing for Evan Longoria, who I think is hitting a little bit of tough luck in the early part of the season.
All right, Jock Peterson got a big pinch hitting appearance last night because Belt's knee was drained yesterday. He wasn't ready, got a big walk. He's hitting fourth today, 4-for-10 with two homers. Kerry Crowley and I joked about it, but Kerry was right. But he's still 2-for-39. How does that happen?
I don't know. There's some of what I was talking about with Longoria with him too, but like it doesn't surprise me that it kind of evened out for him, because if you look at his track record over the course of his career, he's never hit 250. So if you were going to believe that after 8 years, that all of a sudden, that for a long period of time, that he was going to hit 320 or whatever, that I think that was a somewhat unrealistic observation. So I think it's the typical hots and colds that go with a major league player. He got hotter than he typically gets, and he got colder than he typically gets. And like Jerry Seinfeld says, he's even Steven. It all evens out. And in the end, let's remember too, and he's hitting fourth. Over the entirety of the season, his body of work is still not bad, even though the batting average is at .222. He's got the seven home runs. I think you get what you get with him. You're going to get someone who's probably going to be between .230 and .250 with 20-something home run power.
Well, they're looking for him today. He's got more home runs against Musgrove than anybody on the team, and that's two. All right, very good. Now, the Giants, everyone says, well, they should swing early in the count, get a pitch you can hit. But when they get ahead in the count versus even in the count or even behind in the count, there's a tremendous difference for this team, and they work that count, and it's part of their game.
Yeah, and I think that this is kind of, I guess it kind of tells the story as to why they're really good. They work counts, they get ahead in the count, and then they destroy when they're ahead in the count. The Giants this year are the second best team in baseball when their hitters are ahead in the count. So if it's 1-0 or it's 2-1 or 3-1, the Giants destroy in those spots. And that's why, to this point in the season, things look pretty good. They have the second highest OPS. Only the Yankees are better. But when they do fall behind, which isn't necessarily as often because, as we said, they're very careful about not chasing and very smart with their hitting approach, the pitchers have a pretty significant advantage against them. So when it's 0-1 or when it's 1-2, the Giants hitters are in trouble. So they rank 23rd in that stat, the OPS stat, when their hitters are facing 0-1, 1-2, all the bad counts. So they're extremely good when they're in situations where they aim to work themselves into, and when they have to dig themselves out of a hole, that's where they run into a little bit of trouble. So I guess that's kind of the story of the season so far for them.
Yeah, that's the way they do it. That's the way they preach it. Very good. Mark Simon, Sports Info Solutions. As we wrap it up with you, the Mets have a doubleheader today in Colorado. Then the Mets come in for three against the Giants. You're a Met guy. How do you feel about the next six games?
So I went on with Scott Race the other day, and I said that I felt like they could be a 100-win team. And we taped that segment, and I think by the time the segment aired, Max Scherzer had gotten hurt and now will miss 6 weeks. I think they can withstand it because they have such a big cushion in the National League East right now. They're 7.5 games up. Pete Alonso hits the walk-off home run the other day. He's had a lot of really big hits for them this season. I don't think they fear any team. I think they feel like they can go toe-to-toe with anybody. And I think they think that they're still really good because Bassett's been really good. Carrasco has largely been really good. Taiwan Walker has been decent. I think they can get through this. People are talking about trading for someone. I don't necessarily think that they do. Guy to watch in the series, I'll give you Jeff McNeil, who has been really good at spraying the ball all season. He's gotten a lot of big hits for them this season. He looks like his old self when he was a 320, 330 hitter as opposed to what he was last year. And I think that he's someone that could cause a little trouble for the Giants in the next few days.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. It's always good to talk with you. We'll chat again next Saturday. Giants will be taking on Cincinnati next Saturday, and the Reds are starting to win a few games. All right, Mark, have a great day, and I appreciate it.
You got it. Tip.
All right, Mark Simon, Sports Info Solutions. Jesse Agler is coming up next, play-by-play voice on the radio for the San Diego Padres. More coming up on the Sports Leader.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.